Can I just pray for those who's traveling anytime soon, who's going somewhere? I know we've prayed for Angela, Lorraine there. Yes? Okay, good. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that for all those that are traveling by air, road, train, bike, whatever it is, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would protect them, Father, and watch over them. And that, Lord, that they would be, you would bring them back safely to their home. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that your spirit would be with them, guiding them and leading them along the way in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. All right, so the title of the message today is Yielded in Purpose, Living for God's Greater Plan. So welcome, I guess, to everybody that's new as a guest here. We thank you very much for joining us this morning. It's always, I think it's one of the key things that we should never abandon, being in the house of the Lord. There's about 8 weeks left to go until the end of the year. One of the things I would always challenge everybody is that you have opportunities to make certain shifts in your life. This is why it's good to be in the house of the Lord, because there is just an atmosphere that is present in the house of the Lord. And also as you worship, as they begin to prophesy through the worship and then encourage you, and even through the messages, that God can begin to move and shift your heart. So it's very important. It's my great encouragement that we always try to be in church. Amen? Amen. And most importantly, we always try to be on church on time. Would you be late to the cardiologist appointment? Because you get charged the $400. You know? They charge you. At least we should be charging in church if you're late. Nah, we won't do that. You know, we are very gracious. You know, we're so glad that you can join with us. One of the key things that we like about C3 Fremantle in Kwinana is that it's a place for you to belong, but also it's a place to be planted. And it's very important that you find a place where you belong, a community of believers, that you can come around together, come around the Word of God, come around other people and get encouragement. But it's also a place where you can grow in the things of the Lord and be planted and become sturdy, so that you then would increase in your own ministry giftings that the Lord has given you. All right, so when we're dealing with God, please note, it's always by invitation. He is never doing it by force. It's always by invitation. And so as we're going through this series of being yielded, he's not coming across with a baseball bat and saying, yield. That'll be, you know, that's being forceful. But it's an invitation to be yielded, to come close to the Lord. So have that at the back of your mind. It's yielded by invitation. Anybody that God has used, it is always by invitation. Hey, would you like to go on a journey with me? It's up to you whether you want to go on the journey with him. He's not going to force himself upon you. So we're going to continue to look at Abraham's life and discuss what purpose is. So it's often said that the two most important days in your life is the day that you were born and the day you found out why. Okay, why am I on this earth? And so for us, purpose refers to God's plan, his ultimate plan and intention for our lives and for the world. So God is really good that he's got a redemptive plan for the whole world, but in that, there is a plan for your life. There is a plan of your life that is within the plan of the whole world, of what he intends. And this redemption is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the issue is that I'm not going to be jealous of somebody else's plan, because I know that I've got a specific plan that is my own. So if I see somebody else that whose head shines brighter than mine, I'm not going to be jealous, because that's his plan for that person's life. If somebody can speak better than me, guess what? I'm not going to be jealous, because that's their plan. But I am going to say, Lord, for what you have, your redemptive plan, your calling and your gifts for my life, I will yield to what that plan is. So it's about aligning with the greater overarching narrative that God is unfolding. So it's both personal, my life, and then it's universal as it pertains to the redemptive plan of God through Jesus Christ. So when we talk about yielded or yielding to God's purposes, we're talking about the decision in our it's a decision to surrender our personal desires, ambitions, and plans to participate in the life that God envisions for you. So for us to yield to God's purposes means we allow him to guide our lives, trusting that his plan is even better than what we might want for ourselves. I know, Lord, I want to do this. But Lord, I know that in all of this, your plan is much better for me. So now I yield and say, whatever it is that you want me to do, and not that you're going to let go of your dreams and your desires. No, that's not what I'm suggesting at all. But I'm going to reorient them around what God's plans are. Every one of us has something that God has called us to do. Other people have been called to business. Their role is to go as a business person. Others have been called into schools. Others have been called into government. Your question is that, Lord, how can I serve you in this sphere that you've opened up for me? And what is it that you want to do with my life? Because it's not going to be the same for everybody. But it's about how do I yield to the plan that you have for me? You've called me to be an influencer, not these YouTube kind of people. I mean, an influencer in your workplace, you know? no disrespect to any YouTubers here. Because now it's a profession. It is absolutely a profession. But it's really about saying, Lord, you've called me. I'm going to reorient my life around what it is that you want, because I realize that your plan is bigger than what I can envision for my life. This is why he says it's an invitation. Will you be willing to come on this journey that I have? It might not be clear in your own mind, but his purpose is far bigger than what we can think for ourselves. So when we look at the life of Abraham, we see that his purpose was not only to be blessed for himself, but to be a blessing to all the nations. But he had to do this by trusting and yielding to God's promises, because God took him and said, come and I'll show you a land that, you know, I'm going to show you a land. And so he had to trust that, okay, I'm not so sure where you're going. I'm not so sure where we're going, but I'm going to trust that where I am going, it's good for me. That's essentially what he did. Amen? So in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 8, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abraham, which is elevated father. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. And then God goes on to say, I'll make you extremely fruitful, blah, 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 blah. And I'll confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you. He goes on to say, this is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. So there is a place that God is calling you to have influence and dominion over. What he's saying to Abraham here is very consistent with what he said to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, I think, where he says, multiply, that he has given you dominion. I've given you dominion over the birds of the air, the flock of, you know, all that kind of stuff he's given us dominion over. And so it's consistent. And along the way, when God is calling you, it is consistent with what he said in Genesis chapter 3. The things that he said to him, Adam and Eve, is that there is a space that I have for you that I'm going to give you. The question for us is that, will I operate in the space that God has given me? Or will I be looking at the space that he has given somebody else and get really mad that why does that person have a bigger space than I have? And we know what happens when we compare. We struggle, eh? Because there will always be somebody that's better than you, that is more gifted than you. Then we're going to contrast that with in John chapter 12, verse 1 to 6. This is 6 days before the Passover. Jesus goes to Lazarus' house. And so you can see I'm skimming here. The part I want to get to is, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, oh man, that perfume was worth a year's wages. So maybe the minimum wage in Australia is probably 55, 60,000. That's what it was worth. We just go to minimum wage. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. That makes sense. It's a waste, you know, on the Lord. And not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. So his real purpose was that, oh man, what a waste of money. What a waste. I could have banked some of that money for myself. In Matthew 26, it says, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, how much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you? And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And it says, from that time on that he had been given the money, he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. This is what you have to understand, is that Jesus is never recognized. He's revealed. This is why you find in Luke chapter 22, verse 47 to 48, even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. Jesus is never recognized. He is always revealed. You see, so when we have to, in yielding to God's purpose for our lives, we understand that Abraham chose to live for God's promises, even when they seemed impossible. Abraham was called at the age of 75 years old, leave your land and I'll show you this and I'll give you a son. And for so many years, it did not come to pass. At 99, he encountered the Lord again. This is what the Lord was going to do for him. He was going to give him a son, and he was going to be a father of many nations. So understand that when you first start out, he's not giving you the whole plan. He's just giving you a small portion of it. And the more yielded you are to him, the plan gets more and more revealed. So that means that the first time he says something to us, we have to recognize that he doesn't give us all, because he wants us first to develop some levels of trust in him. Are you going to trust me? And as we yield more and more, then it opens up through each and every successive encounter that we have with him. Judas, on the other hand, he decided to pursue his own agenda, leading to the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, are there areas in your life where you are hesitant to align with God's plan? Surrendering control of our lives can be a challenge. But like I said again, when it's with God, it's always an invitation. Do you want, you know, look, Charlie, I would like you to, would you give your life to me? No. Okay, next. And somebody else, he says yes. And as you say yes, then guess what? He begins to reveal the plan. Bit by bit, he opens it up more and more. But we know that surrendering control is a very difficult thing for us. Abram allowed God to shape his future, trusting in God's timing. For Isaac's birth, he waited for 25 years up until the son of promise came. Judas, on the other hand, he struggled with control, leading him to take actions that directly opposed Jesus' mission in the world. Judas decided to take things in because of his own issues. So this tells me that when the Lord calls us, we've got issues in our lives. Now, his was an issue of greed. And the unfortunate part is that he didn't do the work that was necessary to deal with that. And that ended up leading him down a direction that was obviously not good for him. How often do we find ourselves trying to control outcomes instead of trusting God? And perhaps, you know, if we want to see peace in our lives, how can surrendering control to God bring peace in our lives? Because we've been running. The Lord's been speaking and speaking and speaking, and we've been ducking and diving and have no peace in our lives. So if we surrender control to him, it may bring peace in our lives. So what are some of the things that stop us from surrendering over control? So we cling to our personal desires over God's purpose. Judas' attachment to money and personal gain led him to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, disregarding God's redemptive plan. So God has a plan. Judas, you know, because he had stuff that he didn't deal with, he was just like, I don't really care what you're doing in the world, Lord. It's all about what I want. I want to get that money. And that's all his focus was on. And the funny thing you see is that when we all don't deal with our stuff, sooner or later we are going to be exposed. There will always be an opportunity where we'll get exposed. This is why if you were, let's just say, one of the team members at work, it would be easy for you to sort of like say, oh, you know, my boss is this and that. And the moment you are sent to become the boss, then if you have any issues of self-esteem, they will be exposed. Because people come after you and then you start to feel some type of way. Sometimes we cling to our personal dreams, our career goals, our desires that don't align with God's will. The problem with this is that it can block greater blessings that God wants to bring into our lives through his plan. So what are you holding on to that may prevent you from fully yielding to God's purpose? We have the fear of losing control. Abraham released control by taking the step of leaving his homeland and trusting God to lead him into the unknown. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Sometimes, why it's hard to surrender control is because we ignore conviction and we rationalize our actions. Despite being close to Jesus, old Judas rationalized his betrayal for personal gain. Well, so for whatever reason, he constantly was always looking for opportunities to steal. Because if you don't deal, if you got a gossiping issue, guess what's going to happen? You always look for opportunities to gossip. They'll come very easy to you. And you wonder, oh my goodness, you've always got something to say about other people. Rather than he was close to the Lord Jesus, rather than yielding to the teachings of Jesus, he justified his own actions based on his own personal motivations. We too may justify certain actions to align with our own will rather than gods. So we ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is saying, oh, don't do that. That's not a good idea. Do this, do that. And we're like, nah, I'm doing it my own way. And sometimes we know this, especially when we are having an argument with somebody. You know that if I open my mouth and say what I'm about to say from my mouth, I know that it's going to cause some damage. And there's that voice that's telling you, no, no, don't say that. Don't say that. But there's something on the inside that is so desirous. The ego is so desirous to say what it wants to say. So my new phrase is that my ego says this, but I will say this to you instead. You know? So are there areas in your life where you feel convicted, but you continue to rationalize instead of yielding? At times we choose immediate gratification over eternal purpose. He wanted the 30 pieces of silver now, rather than yielding over his relationship with Jesus and, of course, God's eternal purpose. So yielding requires us to focus on God's plan and the bigger picture of his purpose. We tell God during faithful seasons, difficult, it's hard for us to trust the Lord when we're going through stuff. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise to unfold. Unfortunately, sometimes the good things, they say, take a long time. So you have to wait. It doesn't just come that easy. It's not a microwave. You put the popcorn in after 2.5 or 3 minutes, depending on your microwave, you know, the popcorn will come out. It takes time. So we need to hold tightly according to Hebrews 10. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Abraham's yielded life transformed not only his personal legacy, but the legacy of the world, because we know it is through Abraham and Isaac that the plan of God came into fruition. Genesis chapter 22 says, this is what the Lord says, verse 15. Remember the time when we spoke last week when he was about to kill his son and he didn't. And then he says, this is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. That part that says, all because you have obeyed me, this is what I'm going to do. So what legacies are we creating by our willingness or lack thereof to yield to God? And the question, am I fully surrendered to God in every area of my life? Or are there parts I'm holding back for my own control again? And I'll get the team to come back up. Am I fully surrendered to God in every area of my life? Or are there parts I'm holding back for my own control or gain? You see, because proximity to God doesn't guarantee a yielded heart. Judas was right there. He got all the teachings, but it never changed his heart. Sometimes we go through the motions. Are we going through the motions? Am I merely going through the motions of my faith, or is my heart genuinely yielded to God? I bet you along the way there would have been opportunities for Judas to check himself, to say, hey, this thing that I'm doing is not a good thing. But there came a time, I guess, he just couldn't stop. He couldn't stop. He couldn't stop with the sticky fingers. We're going to sing song number three. A very good song, song number three. So just as everybody is standing this morning, Jesus lived his entire life in perfect alignment with the Father's purpose. From the start of his ministry to his last moments on the cross, Jesus was always focused on fulfilling God's plan. And I love this scripture from John chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will." Jesus showed us what it means to yield to God's greater plan, even when it involves suffering and sacrifice. We know how it ended for him. It wasn't good.